We'd only been in Thailand a couple of months when we met a waitress named Elle. She invited us to spend New Year's with her on a mountain called Phu Chi Pha, which means the mountain pointing to the sky. You can change the slide. There's Skinny John next to Elle and her cousin P. She says, when you're on top of the mountain, at sunrise, you can look over to the country, to the peaks of the mountains in the country of Laos, and you'll see a sea of fog in the mountain, in the valley below, and it's very beautiful. Well, we agreed to go, and we hardly knew any Thai vocabulary at all, but our host only knew a little bit of English, but it sounded fun. A long, bumpy ride on a rickety bus up a winding dirt road took us to the village on the mountain where we would start our hike up to the peak. Dust blew in all of the open windows and settled on us and our bags so that we were totally covered when we got there. There was still plenty of daylight left, so we decided we'd take a quick hike up to the peak, you know, a day in advance, just to scout out the path. After returning from our little hike, our host, Elle, showed us the bathroom where we could take our evening shower. Now, in Thailand, the average temperature is over 90 degrees every day of the year. But at night, on a mountain, in the cool season, it can get down to the 40s. So we were going from the 90s to the 40s, and it felt pretty cool to us. And this bathroom had a typical Thai shower, which means there was a barrel of water and a dipper. Yeah, you get to pour it over your head. And I decided that it was just a little bit too cold for a dipper shower that day, so I thought, I'll just wash my hands and my face, get basically cleaned up, skip it. Well, that was a cultural faux pas I was to find out, because the Thai, who are very clean, take a shower every morning and every evening regardless, and sometimes they take an extra couple of showers, it's so hot. Well, our host was surprised when she saw me come out of the bathroom without my hair all wet. You have to take a shower, she said. You stink. And for the rest of the evening, as she introduced me to everyone around the village, she'd tell them, this is Joy. She hasn't taken her evening shower, and she stinks. And she'd pinch her nose for emphasis. Well, as darkness fell, and there was no insulation or heating in any of the homes, so people were building little campfires and singing and drinking alcohol to bring the new year in. We got tired of that kind of celebration fairly quickly and decided we'd just turn in and get a good night's sleep. We asked our host to take us to where we'd be staying for the night, and she took us to the local schoolhouse, which was just one room. There was no furniture, but there was a mat and a blanket on the floor where she indicated we would sleep, and surprise, five random children from the village that we'd never met before, and we'd be sharing our bed with them. So she said, you'll stay warm if you sleep with those kids. So we did as we were told. Unlike the shower, which I didn't take. Well, at 4:30 in the morning, when it was still pitch dark, we were rudely awakened by flashlights being shone in our faces. John, Joy, it's time to get up and hike up the mountain. It's like, okay, it's pitch dark, but okay, we did as we were told. We got our shoes on, got our clothes on, and got ready to stumble our way up the mountain. Some people had flashlights, and get there so we could be at the top before the sun rose for that spectacular view. Well, we got, and there were hundreds, or at least 100 people climbing the mountain with us in the pitch dark. We got there a good 45 minutes before the sun was to rise. And it was windy, and it was cold. We were all freezing. And so we all huddle on the ground like this, just waiting for the sun to rise to get light so we could see our view and start to get warm. Well, we waited and we waited. But guess what? It was overcast that day. There was no sunrise that we could see. It just suddenly grew lighter. So, no view. Can you turn the... Okay, that is the peak. That's actually not the weekend I'm describing. We went later with some Canadian friends that came touring, but this was a better picture because I had a better camera by then. But that's... You can see it's still cloudy. You know, the sea of fog is actually a sky of fog. But anyways, that's the picture. It was an anticlimactic end to our New Year's Day, 1999. But it was a New Year's that we will never forget. And it sure beat sitting on the sofa watching televised coverage of the ball drop in Times Square. And no offense to anyone who does that. You see, years earlier, when I was a young teen, I responded to a challenge from a missionary that would change the trajectory of my life forever. The missionary challenged, there are only two things in this world that last, God's word and people. Invest your life in something that will last for eternity. And so I made that commitment. And it was just, God, whatever you want. I wasn't thinking about being a missionary, but God, I will do what you want. I want to invest my life in something with eternal value. A few years later, I was at a youth conference and responded to another challenge. And that was to join God's team to do something in ministry. A few years after that, I was in Bible school and reading a textbook for my missions class. And it was a bunch of missionary biographies telling the history of missions around the world. And I was surprised at what I read, because these missionaries were not perfect Christians. In fact, they had some of them had some pretty big flaws. But in spite of that, God's power through them spread the gospel, and people came to Christ in nations around the world. I realized I didn't have to be a perfect Christian for God to use me. And I didn't have to be a perfect Christian to be a missionary. God could still do something with me. And this little adventure at New Year's was just the beginning. We spent 2.5 years teaching English at a Thai school in northern Thailand. We loved it, and we learned a lot about the culture. But we started to get frustrated because, after all, we had come there to share the gospel with the Thai, and we didn't know the language. So we were limited to those very few people who understood English or having someone there with us to interpret for us. So we took another faith step. We quit our jobs as English teachers, and we moved to Bangkok so we could study the Thai language full-time for 1 year.
She does such a good job, doesn't she? It seems like we were just there, except for that, going up that hill and stuff. But yeah, next please, Jeff. And we were in Thailand. We went down to Bangkok. Bangkok is the capital city of Thailand. It's over 10 million people. So the cost of living was much higher than, you know, what we were used to when we're up north, five times as much. So that was pretty tough. And if we quit our job, so we were relying upon support from back home, which we had supporters at that time helping us out. So we, you know, there's a lot of things going on there. And I still remember, as we were working through that language, we went to our small group. There's a Thai church, and this Thai church took on a lot of missionaries over the years doing their language studies. And we were a couple of them, and we got into this group, and, you know, we would listen to that, to Thai, and speak it and stuff like that. And then when the pastor says, would you pray, please? And I started to pray, and as I went, it's kind of like the words were, I had to stuttering and stammering, and every word was forced out, and I felt the sweat starting to bead up on my forehead, and I started to feel a little bit of faint from all the effort. I almost felt like Jesus in a garden before those guys came to get him. almost sweating blood. And at that time, I finally finished, and I just went, wow. I felt like I went 12 rounds with Mike Tyson, barefisted. So it was tough. And with that, next please. We have this great commission, and this is what drove us forth, because without this, I think I would have probably quit. But here, the Great Commission in Matthew 28:16-18 is, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And when I went back to that first part there, when it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Well, I tell you, during that language study time, I was really doubting myself, because it was one of the toughest things I've ever done, trying to speak another language that wasn't even close to being like ours. Next, please. That is the Thai language when it's written out. Now, praise the Lord, Joy and I studied that before we even started our language study down in Bangkok, so we understood how to read, but to write and to listen and to speak, very, very difficult. So we were really trying our best, and we were given a schedule of two hours with the tutor at that other picture that you saw with one of our tutors, and then we'd have 2 hours of book work where you have to read something or try to get up on your vocabulary, and then 2 more hours you're supposed to be out there, you know, talking to the Thai and listening. Well, you know, that's the perfect schedule, but of course things wouldn't always work out that way. Sometimes we actually even went on weekends to villages so we can hear Thai and speak Thai, you know, throughout the weekend and stuff like that, which was great. That doubt was there, though. You know, disciples were probably doubting, is this Jesus? You know, because he's shown up so many different times, and they're probably still going, who is that coming to us? You know, and I was kind of just pretty much doubting myself. You know, what am I going to be able to actually get this language? Because if you even heard what Joy said, I mean, it's a tonal language where things go up and down. Sometimes if you go, my, I just said, new wood does not burn. Okay, so it's all my's, but it's my. All right, so that's Thai language, just the way it moves. And it's a beautiful language. It's one of the most beautiful languages, but it's also one of the more difficult languages in the world as well. So, but at that time, you know, we're just wondering, can we do it? Well, as we read in Matthew, you know, Jesus is with us, and he provided. He provided for us. He provided the finances. Like I said, we didn't have our jobs, so we were relying upon support. And we didn't know how much support we were going to get there, and it had to be increased support because we were living in an expensive city. But at the end of our language study, not only did we have $50 left in our bank account, but we had fluency in the Thai language and listening to it and speaking. And we had a lot of great adventures because we had to go 5 visa trips. We had to go in and out of the country so we can continue our visa to stay in Thailand. And we'd go to Singapore and Laos and Cambodia. And I think, did we go anywhere else? Malaysia as well. So all that, the adventures God provided and the means to be able to continue to study, to pay for the language study, and to be able to live in Bangkok, God is faithful, and he provided in that time. So how did I get there? Well, see, I took a different route from Joy. I mean, I went to church until I was 12 years old, and then something happened at the church, and our family decided to leave, and my dad never could find us another church that he really wanted to take us to. So I never really went back to church, not consistently, until I was 29 years old. And God spoke to my heart. I think I've already kind of told you about that in front of a TV set, TV evangelists preaching, and broke my heart before God. You know, I always felt like I was a Christian, but I really wasn't. I was just doing my own thing. I would pray, but I would just pray for myself. There was no relationship much between me and God. So when he broke my heart, I felt like now I know who he is. He's my Lord and Savior. And then when later on I got baptized with my mom, which was wonderful. I was 29 years old at that time. And when I came up out of that water, I just felt like God was saying, "You ready?" And I just said, "Yeah, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? You know, I'm fully committed. I'm ready for you." And God started to direct my life and open doors. And I was helping out with a youth group. And so, you know, I was teaching PE, living in Southern California. A pretty nice life, actually. You know, you didn't have to worry about snow, except for up in the mountains. And I didn't go up there very often unless I wanted a sled or something. Job was good. Lots to do. Lots of comfort. But there's still something missing there. And as I was in the youth group, and we actually went up into the mountains during a winter camp, one of the youth group members asked me a question. She said, "Do you want to be a PE teacher for the rest of your life?" Well, that annoying person rattled me. She made me think. And I felt God was speaking through her. See, God spoke through, he speaks through people to me. In fact, my mom is the one who asked me, "Do you want to go to church?" Twice. And I said, "Yes," twice. And God put me on the path, his path in that. And then this young girl asked me, you know, "Do you want to be a PE teacher for the rest of your life?" And I had to think about that. What does that mean? So I had to seek it out, and I came before the Lord, and he said, "Well, you know, you said you're going to be ready for me." And I started to get ready. I started to think about going to Bible school. Actually, I started going to Bible school, and then joy came into my life and kind of changed the direction even more. Because she's going, "Thailand." I'm going, "What? What is Thailand? And what are missionaries?" I had no clue what a missionary was. I didn't even know what a seminary was for a long time. But God put it upon my heart, pray. And as I prayed, I just felt like he said, "Go. Go to Thailand. Go and bring the good news to the Thai." And I did not regret that decision, even putting aside all the culture, the language, the wonderful weather of California and the job and all the comforts of life. It was certainly worth it to go. Next, please. So we went on. As our language study completed, we're going out there, and God opened up the door for us to help out with a church plant in a city called Nonthaburi, which was just a little bit outside of Bangkok. You can see it was a suburb. And not only did God bless us with the opportunity to plant a church there, but he blessed us with two boys at that time as well. There's Nolan with our house helper there. Her name is Ja, and her daughter. And as you can see, he was kind of a fan favorite of the neighborhood. And then Cam came on a little bit later, just before we actually moved. Every 4 years, you know, you'd come back to the States and have a home assignment and go back. So when he was born, we were just before that. So we had a good time. It was great. Ja did not know the Lord, but as time went on and she saw our life and we talked with her, and she started to go to the church, and she started to go to the groups that we'd meet. And eventually she became a Christian and being part of that church plant there. And so he said, "Go, make disciples." And that's what we went. And that area, Nonthaburi, I don't know if you would envision huge walls I don't know. I'm not even sure if I can even envision something. I'm not sure if I've seen something. But something like Jericho, if you can think about a city of Jericho, you know, all those stories you see down, all those walls. That's what Thailand is like, and that's what that area, Nong Thaburi, was like. But it's very dark because it's very demonic. A lot of evil forces, a lot of these things that they talk about in the Bible about the evil spirits of darkness, the principalities, the rulers, the authorities of the dark world. That's who was in that area. That's who established themselves in that area, and there is no church. No church. So praise the Lord, he provided us a mother church, a big church in Bangkok, and they gave us a few people to start working with. And we started to go and to walk in the neighborhoods and pray. And we did outreach events, just going into the communities in that area, doing like I think we did like the what is that shoebox ministry? What was that called?
Samaritan Purse.
Yeah, Christmas shoebox. We did things like that just to see if we can get into some doors in some of these communities in that area. Sometimes it worked. And one of the things that did work was there was a boys' home, you know, for orphan boys in that area, and that one, that door opened up to us pretty well. But a lot of other doors were shutting because the spiritual warfare was really strong there. And we would walk the streets and pray quite a bit with our colleagues and stuff. So it was a situation where you're trying to start something out of nothing, and you're going up against a pretty powerful enemy. But remember in Matthew, what did Jesus say? He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority is his. And what is authority? Well, I looked it up. I said, and it says, a power to act especially over others that derives from status, position, or office. And I was kind of going, okay, that's kind of a good definition, but it's still kind of hard to understand. But I still remember in a book, or when we were listening to somebody at one of the, it was a retreat that we were at I think it was Beulah Beach. This guy was speaking, and he says, what authority it looks like is this. There's a 18-wheel semi-truck moving at a high speed down the road towards an intersection. And at that intersection is a 150-pound cop, police officer there directing the traffic. Okay, that semi-truck was probably around 80,000 pounds, moving pretty quick. And all of a sudden, as that big truck is barreling towards the intersection, that little person blows his whistle and puts out his hand towards the semi-truck. And you know what it does? Stops. Why? 80,000 pounds versus 150 pounds. I think it should just keep on going, right? But there's something more behind that police officer. There's that authority. There's that government. There's that law that they're supposed to follow that's behind him, that is able to enforce and stop that semi-truck. Well, that's what Jesus had. You know, when he was teaching, people go, oh, he teaches with such authority because he knew it so well. Because he showed it through his miracles and through his teaching and through his life. So we needed Christ's authority. And as we walked and prayed, those walls were starting to shake. Just like Jericho, you know, how they, excuse me, I don't know why my voice does that sometimes. Just like Jericho, you know, they didn't just go up to the walls and just blow the trumpets and it falls down, right? Or they didn't just go up and just do it once. They had to walk around that seven times and then blow the trumpets and yell. And then the walls came crumbling down. There was something spiritual about that, I believe. And I think so here too. Now, the walls didn't come tumbling down like Jericho, but they were opening up and starting to get shaken down to where some people were actually opening their hearts to the message of the good news. and people were receiving Christ. And actually, one of our members actually even had got baptized at the mother church that was supporting us and helping us out. Next, please. So this is the group. At the end of our time there, we had a pretty decent group, and there's probably still some people that weren't there as well, but it was a good start. Local people and some people from the mother church, and come together to worship, to teach the word, to live it before those people in that area, to pray and to see something. You know, remember that verse about that the word of God going out does not return void? It didn't. The word went out, and a church was started, and it's still there today. It's still there today, breaking down those walls with Christ's authority. That's what it's about. That's why we went. That's why we went to Thailand, to do just that. It wasn't easy, but there was many blessings in it as well. And there's a church there so others can hear about Christ and about salvation, about redemption, about everlasting life, about forgiveness. Some things they just don't know about or even heard about. See, remember, this country is a Buddhist country. They're thought about God is not the same as ours. They don't even really know there's even an actual God. They just live their lives and hope that when they're reborn again, they'll come back as a better person. See, they rely upon points, a point system. You got to do this, you got to do that. You got to be good enough to get to that next level. That's Buddhism. Next, please. We don't like staying put very long. You haven't noticed that. We move quite a bit in our lives. And the Lord moved us up to the Northeast to a church planting movement. And that was really going to be going to the villages and starting these groups, small groups, and training up leaders in those groups to lead those churches. And hopefully they would just multiply and spread along relationship lines and along how God is going to move in that area. To start that ministry off, God said, go. Go to our colleagues who were going to join there. Go to the prisons. To the prisons. And as you can see, Joy teaching some of the ladies at one of the prisons. She had one prison that she went to regularly. And our colleagues and I went to a couple of other ones, working with men. And in these prisons as well. And these people were hungry for good news, hungry for something more in their lives, something they haven't seen or heard before. They would hear the good news. The teaching about Christ would go out to make disciples. Next, please. There, Jeff. In the ministry there with the guys. Next, please. And baptism started to happen because people were receiving Christ. These guys are in prison. Okay, these guys were naughty boys and naughty girls. But they were receiving Christ. They heard the good news. We didn't force them. We discussed the word for several weeks and gave them an opportunity to say yes or no. And if they said no, it's all right. You know, they could still join, keep it with the group and continue to attend and listen to the Bible teachings and stuff like that. Or they could receive Christ and continue to grow in Christ. So, a lot of response. In fact, there's at least 100 men and women who are baptized in this ministry who received Christ, at least. And I would say there could have been at least 3 or 4, maybe 5 times as much that heard the good news. And the seed was planted during this ministry. And you can see the nice baptismal tank. We've done one in a little ice chest once too. They're not very big people. Yeah, a pretty big ice chest, but We, you know, they didn't lie back down. We just dunked them straight down and under. Next, please. So as time went on, we were able to start going outside the prison too, because some of these people would leave the prison, and we were actually training two men to be leaders, and this is a village of one of the men, and they received Christ too. You know, God's word is going out. We're making disciples. His authority of breaking down the walls of the enemy. And see the joy in their faces. How many snakes are in that water? I don't know. They don't care. There's a lot of joy. And you notice who's baptizing them? They're baptizing one another. Because their love for one another. Next, please. And Joy got to baptize a couple in the city that we lived in. You know, they were coming to the center that we were at, a training center that we had for training the leaders and also doing mushrooms to help them take those mushrooms back to their village so they can have some income while they led the churches. That was our idea. Him and Moy, right? Him and Moy. Baptized, receiving Christ. Someone who hasn't ever heard the hope of Christ, and now they get baptized and they're able to learn and grow in Him. Next, please. So continue out in the village. This is one of the villages, one of the Monthrees village. That's one of the people that we're training. Next, please. As you can see, Nolan and Cam are right with us pretty much everywhere we went. This is EQ's village. We started a little church there as well, amongst his family. He almost killed somebody. He just flew in a rage, probably a drunken rage, and almost killed somebody. That's why he was in prison. When he got out of prison, his life was changed so much by the Word of God that his family's going, "Who is this?" See, usually when you go back home, they're going, "We know who you are, and get out of here." They're saying, "Who are you? And we want to hear about how you got changed." And so we were able to start a church there amongst his family, bringing the good news. And they were starting to make their own music. Their own, they say, a country-type music, wouldn't you say? Thai country music. Singing praises to God. Next, please. Wonderful people. The Thai love food, and they like celebrations and having fun. And we were on a dike between two ponds there at one of the villages, and that was Christmas Day. You see any snow? Next, please. And, you know, at the center, as there's training, we had EQ and his wife Chang there. There's Cam. You see that little guy there. And Boom and Bank were the sons of one of the leaders at Monthree that we were training. They were also helping us out there at the center, teaching them how to eat s'mores. What fun, yes? Next, please. So eating with EQ. EQ was like a son to me, truthfully. His heart really opened. God really changed him so much. He was such a bright light, and we enjoyed having him and training him and going out to his village. Next, please. And he married Jang, and Jang was also in the prison, and she became a Christian, and when she got out, they got married. And at one point when she was pregnant, something wasn't quite going well, and the doctor was saying, "Well, this child is going to be born, it's going to be very sickly, you know, might not be very healthy child." And, you know, and then for some reason, they were saying, "I think you need to abort. I think it's going to be too much of a problem." They really were pushing abortion of the child. And they told us, and we said, "Well, let's pray about it. You know, let's trust the Lord. You know, trust the Lord in this and pray about it, that, you know, God knows more than the doctors." You know, we really encouraged them to continue on with pregnancy and just to trust God in it. Well, praise the Lord.
when Mana was born, born healthy, born laughing and a blessing to them because they trusted in the Lord. Another lesson that they learned. God moving powerfully, and those people learning about who He is more and more. Next, please. Oops.
So we move again. We move again. Now we go back to the north, almost to the same city that we started off, which was way up north. Now we're just a little bit below that in a place called Chiang Mai. And this was a ministry of training pastors, local pastors, to train lay leaders in their churches, because a lot of problems, you know, the pastor did it all, right? And there, and they had really nobody to help, or nobody knew the Bible well enough to be able to help them with certain things or certain outreaches or whatever they're going to do. So the idea was this, to go and train the pastors so they can, as God led, that they would choose people that they feel like they're mature Christians and that they could teach them the Bible and to help them understand the Word of God, and so they can teach others, and so take some of the burden off the pastor, and also just create just a synergy in the church, you know, growth and energy, and to move out and to reach out into their communities and evangelize. So now you're seeing not only this people receiving Christ, now you're seeing people training others to obey Christ's commands. So critical. Next, please. So we go around, we train these pastors, and after they finish, I think it was like a 3-day seminar or something like that that they had, and we would pray over them. And then, you know, people who were like the supervisors would go around and visit them. And Joy led one group, I led a group, and I would also travel to different centers around the country and visit these pastors, maybe 3 times a year, and just to see how they're doing and listen how they're teaching the group and see how to encourage them to keep on going in their studies. Next, please. And they actually graduate. They graduate from this, and they have the Word of God. They have a good knowledge of that, and the church is either going to plant another church with these people leading it, or they're going to have them help out in their church to grow their church stronger in their community. Next, please. And we had a special gathering. What was that? 10-year? That was a 10-year celebration of this program. They called CLD, the Center for Leadership Training. Oh, I'm sorry, development. Did I say training? Development. And these were some of the former graduates who are now training others. See, the whole thing is, you know, they're trained, and then eventually you want to see them train others, not just a pastor doing everything. And it's really been working well. Some churches have really got, I think, already got like 4 or 5 generations. So even though in Thailand, I don't know if it's even got up to 1% Christian yet. I don't really know. When we were there, it was only not even 0.5% that were professing Christ in Thailand. Of a people of 60 million people, and it's probably 70 or 80 now, not even 1%. But yet the church is growing stronger there, and this ministry is still going on. Actually, we support it as well. Actually, maybe in the future, we'll have somebody from the WPA here, the district here in Western Pennsylvania, come and speak. Some good friends of ours who are working in this ministry. So these are those wonderful things going on. And next, please. We had this big, right there, this was Almanau. What is that? The bay, the Lime Bay. You know, it was a beautiful bay. We took all these people from, these guys are up in the country, so going to the beach was something special. So a lot of them came, all right? And we had a great time. I think it was like 3 days or something like that we were together. And there's this on the beach, and just look at that. What encouragement. These are all people
who went through that program, you know, graduated and are going to be teaching others and also evangelizing, and how God is just going to use them to spread his good news to people and other villages around. And it's just a wonderful ministry. Waves of joy. And I think of waves of blessings, waves of good news. So precious to see it going forth in Thailand. And so what does this mean for us? Well, one thing I like to, a couple things I like to leave with you is this question. Is God speaking to you, to your heart, about your future, even now? Are you feeling something? That's something you got to come before God and listen to him, to what he's speaking to you. Just like when he spoke, people ask me questions, right? And other people, you know, God speaks them to them a little bit differently. We need to come before the Lord and see what he has for you, for your future. And one of the most important things that we're learning, you know, what Joy learned too, you don't have to be perfect. If you're waiting to be perfect, sorry, not until heaven, right? But God said, go. You know, when those guys were doubting who he was and, you know, what's going on here, he didn't say, oh, really? He didn't start teaching them again. He just said, go. Go. Make disciples. Not sit there and start twiddling your thumbs or start having to learn again and try to get more perfect or whatever. No, he said, go. You don't have to be perfect. And your weakness, I'll show my perfectness, my power through you, right? So one thing we need to know, most important thing that Joy and I remember and I learned, and I think some others of you would probably agree with this as well, is being available to God is really important. And being obedient to his call, whatever it is. Some people are sent overseas like we were, and some people are sent across the street or to the city or to just or to a ministry within their church. And would you be willing to commit? Commit your life to whatever the Lord has for you. It's scary because I know when I was going, yeah, I'm ready. And when God says, are you ready to go to Thailand? I was going, what? all right. Got to pray about that one. Go. Go. Stop doubting. Go make disciples. Preach the word, teach it, teach others to obey Christ's commands, baptize in the name of Father, of Son, and Holy Spirit, knowing that all authority is given to Christ, and he is the one who's with us always to the very end of the age. And we're going to produce that everlasting fruit. And I tell you something, sunshine in California, comfort life, it paled in comparison to going to Thailand and seeing lives changed and people receiving the good news. I would do it time and time again. Let's pray. Father God, again, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord, for the joy of serving you and to go. Make disciples, and knowing that we're not doing that in our own strength, but in your authority, the authority of your name, of who you are. Lord God, speak to our hearts. Help us to be available and obedient to you, Lord. And show us the way how we can get involved in whatever you have us to do. And that will stop doubting. And just go. Stop looking to be perfect. Just go. To be a blessing to others. Share this good news of who you are. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And thank you for your word. that does not return void. Praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.